Okay, our next presentation is The Effect of Biosolids on Kentucky Bluegrass Sod Production in Wisconsin. Presenting is Shane Griffith.
Thank you, Dr. Soldat. My name is Shane Griffith. I'm a graduate student at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and as part of my master's research, I'm studying the effect of biosolids on Kentucky Bluegrass Sod in Wisconsin. This project is a collaboration with Virginia Tech, Dr. Irvin and Evangelo. And Derek Cataldi was here yesterday morning presenting on tall fescue production using biosolids. Biosolids are defined by the EPA as the byproduct of the wastewater treatment process that are primarily organic in nature and that can be applied to the land beneficially. So what's the issue that we're facing? With increasing population growth and increasing urban centers, there's a need for waste disposal demand. However, there's also a reduction in suitable sites for land application. And our solution to this, or potential solution, was to use the sod industry as a site of biosolids application. Sod production may reduce the negative potential impacts of biosolids application through harvest. Additionally, sod production or biosolids have been used successfully in the sod in the turf grass industry to fertilize. And with increasing fertilizer prices, this could prove to be an economic benefit to sod growers. Finally, sod production has come under fire lately for unsustainable mining of the soil topsoil. This photo from Millar et al. Shows a historic cemetery that's undisturbed next to a sod production farm, and you can see the reduction in topsoil from repeated harvesting of the sod. And we were wondering if maybe biosolids could do something to alleviate this problem. With that in mind, our objectives were first to explore the agronomic impact of biosolids on Kentucky bluegrass sod production, and this includes establishment, sod quality, sod strength, and the length of a sod production cycle. Second, we wanted to quantify measure the mineral matter removal from sod production, both with and without biosolids. And we also wanted to look at soil productivity, and to do this, we developed carbon budgets of the soil profile from sod production. And finally, we wanted to identify factors that limit biosolids-based sod production. All summed up, this comes together to pose a project goal of developing a sustainable biosolids-based sod production system. So these are the two materials we used, both from Madison Metropolitan Sewage District. In the foreground is biosolids cake. It's a dewatered Class B biosolids, 780 grams per kilogram water and 7.6% total nitrogen. MetroMix in the background is also produced by the Madison Metropolitan Sewage District. It's the biosolids cake blended with sand and sawdust in a 2-to-1-to-1 ratio. MetroMix, reflecting the dilution by the sand and sawdust, is a drier material. It is 17% water and 0.9% total nitrogen. Today I'm going to be talking to you about and sharing results from year one of our study. Year one was seeded in September 2009 and harvested in May 2011, so it underwent a 20-month sod production cycle. Year two and three are currently underway. They are replications of year one. Year two will be completed in this next spring, and year three will be completed the spring following. Our materials and methods, we use 7 production systems, 4 replications arranged in a randomized complete block design. Our conventional practice was made to mimic what a sod producer normally would do, including synthetic nitrogen fertilizer applications, and that included 265 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. We applied both our biosolids cake and mix at 3 plant available nitrogen rates, assuming 100% availability of inorganic nitrogen and 25% mineralization of the organic nitrogen. Biosolids were broadcast using a rear discharge manure spreader as shown here. They were incorporated and plots were seeded with Kentucky bluegrass. Plot maintenance was performed by the sod grower according to his normal standards, which included mowing plots 3 times weekly at 5 centimeter height of cut and an application for weed control. Data collection that I want to talk about today is visual quality ratings on a 1-to-9 scale where 6 is minimally acceptable. Sod tensile strength was measured using this device pictured here, where we measured the strength required to laterally pull apart a piece of sod. Mineral soil removal was quantified using a loss on ignition method. And sod carbon dynamics sod carbon dynamic profiles were developed by using carbon concentration data along with paired bulk density measurements. I just wanted to point out here in our analysis of variance that both for visual quality and tensile strength, we found a significant treatment by date interaction. To begin sod tensile strength, typical sod production cycle length in Wisconsin is approximately 20 months. This table is showing 9, 11, 13, and 20 months after our seeding, how strong the sod was. You'll see that at 9 months after seeding, our cake applied to 250 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare had a sod strength of 349 newtons and was our strongest treatment. 11 months after seeding, mix applied at 250 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare had a sod strength of 299 newtons and was our strongest treatment. 13 months after seeding, we found few statistically significant differences. So by doing multiple sod strength tests and then looking in the literature, I developed a tensile strength rubric that quantified when our sod was strong enough to harvest. Below 200 newtons, insufficient strength, 200 to 300, considerable sod breakage. Greater than 300 or 300 to 500, very little sod breakage, and greater than 500, exceptional sod strength. Based upon this rubric, we really did not find acceptable sod strength until 20 months after seeding, with the one exception being the lowest rate of cake at 9 months after seeding. At 20 months after seeding, our highest sod strength was found with cake applied at 500 kilograms of plant available nitrogen per hectare. So I'm going to focus on that rating date, 20 months after seeding, because that's when the sod producer will harvest the sod and ship it off to a consumer, and that's ultimately what they will see. So focusing on that rating date, on this diagram I'm showing the visual quality rating on the x-axis and tensile strength on the y-axis. You'll notice three natural groupings. Each one of these bullet points represent one of our treatments, a paired visual quality rating, tensile strength rating. The first natural grouping had a visual quality rating greater than 7 and sod tensile strength near 600 newtons. And that was found with the cake applied at 500 and 1,000 kilograms of plant available nitrogen per hectare and our conventional practice. The next natural grouping was found with mix applied at 500 kilograms of plant available nitrogen per hectare and cake applied at 250. And finally, with a visual quality rating below 6, unacceptable, was mix applied at our lower application rates, 250 and 375 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. So when we applied the biosolids, we didn't know what application rate was going to give us acceptable quality throughout the production cycle. So looking back on it, we went through and did polynomial regression to model biosolids response for visual quality, color, sod strength. This diagram is for visual quality to illustrate biosolids rate, and we only did this for the cake. At 250, 500, and 1,000 kilograms of plant available nitrogen per hectare, our visual quality response on the y-axis. The mean visual quality of the conventional practice was 7, so we found where that intersected our polynomial regression and then used that to estimate what biosolids application rate would have provided similar parameters or visual quality, color, sod strength as our conventional practice. Doing this, we recommend an optimal cake application rate of 425 kilograms of plant available nitrogen per hectare. In subsequent years, a portion of the biosolids that were applied will remain in the field and will not be harvested. And these biosolids will serve as a nitrogen source for future cycles. So likely we could cut this back if we were going to do a second consecutive biosolids application. Second thing I'd like to discuss today is our sod production mineral matter budget, which we calculated as the change in mineral matter as a total import to export budget. More specifically, M mineral is our change in mineral matter, is the function of import of biosolids mineral matter, which was determined by loss on ignition, minus our export, and our export was calculated as the M sod. That's just the dry mass of sod at 105 degrees Celsius. We subtracted from that the organic constituents, both soil and plant, by loss on ignition, and then we also subtracted the mineral matter associated with the plant. We found that the conventional practice had a mineral matter removal of 75 metric tons per hectare. This is similar to other published reports. We found that we could reduce mineral matter removal by applying cake and or mix at the highest application rates. Cake at 1,000 kilograms of plant available nitrogen per hectare, reduce mineral matter removal to 51 tons per hectare, and mix at 500 metric tons per hectare, reduce mineral matter to 30 tons per hectare. We also wanted to quantify our soil carbon stock, as we felt this gave us a better reflection of soil productivity. All values reported are in tons of carbon per hectare, and were determined by multiplying a depth by a bulk density by a carbon concentration. Initially, before growing sod, our total carbon budget to a 30-centimeter depth was 47.4 tons per hectare. After 20 months of sod production for the conventional practice, our total carbon budget was 51.3 tons per hectare, not statistically different from our initial field site. Of course, we harvest the sod and remove the 7.4 tons per hectare of carbon that are in the sod layer, reducing our final field carbon budget to 43.9 tons per hectare, also not statistically different from our initial field site. In conclusion, biosolids cake applied at 500 to 1,000 kilograms of plant available nitrogen per hectare produced sod with similar visual quality and tensile strength as the conventional practice. We established an optimal cake application rate for an initial application of 425 kilograms of plant available nitrogen per hectare. We found that there was a potential to replace synthetic fertilizers in sod production, but we did not find any reduction in the production cycle length, as it still took us 20 months before sod reached harvestable strength. Mineral removal was reduced by incorporating biosolids cake and mix at the highest application rates, but it was never eliminated. And sod production did not significantly change the soil carbon pool. Finally, the NRCS defines the soil loss from sod production as actually being a soil loss. I think a sod producer would argue that it's more of a soil transfer from one location to another location. And I just wanted to leave you with the question of, does sod production constitute a soil loss or a soil transfer? With that, some acknowledgments, and I think there's some time for questions. Thank you.
Yep, we have time for questions for Shane.
Go ahead.
Yeah, how variable do you import nitrogen from various sources, your cake, for example?
Sure. The question is, how variable is total nitrogen from our different sources? The variation exists mainly within from 1 year to the next, depending upon the influent to the wastewater treatment plant, and that's what affects the total nitrogen content. In our initial biosolids application, our nitrogen was, I forget what it was, maybe 7.6%. In our second time that we had biosolids analyzed a year later, it was about 6% nitrogen. Please. The question was, how deep did we incorporate the biosolids? We incorporated biosolids to a 5-centimeter depth using a rototiller.
Did you measure the weight of the conventional sod versus the biosolid sod?
You know, the question is, did we measure the dry sod mass of the biosolids produced sod versus the conventional sod? And yes, we did. We found that the biosolids produced sod, when biosolids produced sod looked good, it had similar sod mass as the conventionally grown sod. So there's no differences between our 500 and 1,000 kilogram plant available nitrogen per hectare rates of biosolids cake and our conventionally grown sod. Please.
Yeah, I worked a little with it. It seemed like it had some bad moisture retention qualities when it was used, like as a top dressing. Do you notice that there were any problems with that?
So we also measured soil water content to 7.5-centimeter depth. The question was differences in soil water content from the biosolids. And we actually found that the biosolids cake in particular, when applied at the highest application rate, increased our soil volumetric water content.
But as a top dressing?
Oh, as a top dressing?
As a top dressing.
No, we did not look at it as a top dressing. Yes, the sod was transplanted to the O.J. Noor Turfgrass Research and Education Facility, and 10 and 20 days after transplant, I went back and measured sod visual quality. The trends were very similar to what we saw at that 20 months after seeding. Our high nitrogen application rates looked fantastic, along with the conventional practice looked pretty good. Low nitrogen application rates, not so hot.
All right, thank you, Shane.